Good morning, 708 at KFYO. News Talk 790, Collins and Mack. And in the house, we've got Ambassador Tibor Pinosh Jr. Welcome back to the program.
Appreciate Great to be here with you guys.
Yeah. Okay, today is the would it be the convenience?
It's the opening of the United Nations General Assembly today.
So this is like a huge event.
It is. It is, because most of the world's leaders will be in New York and having formal meetings. They'll all be making speeches, and some of them may be having informal meetings, and that's the big question. Is President Obama going to sneak off to a coat closet and meet with the Iranian President Rouhani at some point?
Yeah. That remains to be seen.
He is scheduled to do a speech tomorrow morning.
Yeah, tomorrow morning.
Yeah, he's addressing the UN General Assembly. Okay. Yeah. There are some things that we're kind of keeping our eyeball on. The Sudanese leader, Bashir, is actually a wanted international criminal.
Because of the genocide in Darfur. Anywhere he lands, the country is supposed to arrest him. Now, he has traveled to some friendly countries, and of course they haven't arrested him, but he has applied for a U.S. visa to come address the United Nations, and we have treaty obligations to let any world leader, whether we have relations with them or not, come to the United Nations. So the question is, do we give him a visa? And if we do, do we let him come speak at the United Nations and leave, or do we arrest him en route or route from?
Mm. Yeah, maybe we should let him give him the visa, let him come in and do his thing, and then like tag him right as he gets on the plane. And say,
I wouldn't even give him the chance to make a speech.
Because he is one despicable human being.
He is.
Massive human rights violations. Mm-hmm. Bombing people, mass rapes, killing people just because of their ethnicity.
Mm-hmm. Why in the world would people abide by that? I mean, if he is a wanted criminal, and for instance, if we could get our hands on Assad, I mean, is Assad coming to this?
No, he's not. But technically, he could. Now, if Assad's smart, he's not going to leave Syria, because the instant he leaves Syria, there might be some general in his family that decides to step in his place. Mm-hmm. But
kind of the way things work over there, isn't it?
In a lot of places.
Yeah.
What a disappointment. Okay, the most immediate thing we're thinking about is the Nairobi bombing, because that's
front awful.
Page everywhere.
Yeah, it's the Somali group that's linked to Al-Qaeda, Al-Shabaab. Mm-hmm. Al-Shabaab has two wings. One is kind of wants to work inside Somalia. The other wing wants to take terrorism all over the world. Kenya has troops in Somalia fighting Al-Shabaab. So they are going to really, really make it nasty on Kenya by doing as much damage in Nairobi as they can. Remember, our embassy was blown up in Nairobi not many years ago. There's this terrorist element in the Somali population in Nairobi, and they're the ones who have carried this out. There are rumors that they're British citizens and American citizens amongst the bad guys.
Really?
Which would not, that they're actually American citizens who have gone, many of them from Minnesota, back to Somalia to help Al-Shabaab and help the radical cause. So we'll see when all the bodies are, because these guys are all going to die. They're either going to blow themselves up or they'll be killed by the Kenyans. Unfortunately, they're going to take a lot of good people with them. When the siege started, they started out by saying, if you're a Muslim, you can get up and leave. Mm-hmm. And if you're not, stay behind. So the people who got up and left, they let them go. And then they just started killing the people who were left behind.
Mm. Wow. Crazy. It's 7:14. Good morning. We'll be back with Ambassador Nash. 7:18. Good morning. Tom and Laura back on Monday. In the house, we've got Ambassador Tibor Pinosh Jr. We're discussing the General Assembly convening today with the United Nations and all things that are connected to that. We were just visiting off mic about, are we just paying more attention these days because we're getting a little older, or is the world really a bigger screwed up mess than it's ever been?
I think it's both. I think because of the instant news cycle, they have to fill the air with stories, and there's always something happening around the world. And on the other hand, the world situation has gotten so complex, whether it's Syria, whether it's Iran, whether it's North Korea, whether it's bad guys in Nairobi. And, it may be in Nairobi, but it reminds us all that kind of an attack could happen anywhere. I mean, we were talking about New York right now being the gigantic bullseye of every bad group in the world. Because with most of the world leaders there, no matter what your craziness or your affiliation, there is a target there for you.
Right.
And as I said, I have a very personal interest because one of my sons is there on the security detail for the U.S. government. So, you know, we're praying that nothing happens.
Right.
But just think of all the easy opportunities in a free society for evil people who want to do something bad.
That's pretty intimidating just to think about that. All right, I guess obviously the biggest thing on the table right now at the UN is going to be the posturing around Syria.
Yep.
Lay all the cards out on the table and let's just kind of weigh the situation out and kind of see if we can get a mental direction towards that.
Well, the cards on the table, Obama drew a red line in the sand. Then because of political reasons, he'd realized he could not act on it. Then the Russians stepped in for their own interests to bail him out. Now the Syrians have declared their chemical holdings, allegedly. Now what's supposed to happen by November is they're supposed to destroy the mechanisms, the vehicles for destroying them. And now the Russians are, and the Americans and the Brits and the French are supposed to be working up a resolution that will affirm this whole process. And the Russians are accusing us, the Americans, of being obstructionist because we want to have some force behind the resolution, and they don't, even though we all know that force has been taken off the table effectively, no matter what we say in the resolution. So that's kind of, you know, where things stand.
Wow. Okay. Whenever we pulled out, or we put the line in the sand and didn't follow through with that, we had the opportunity to go in. And we probably should have.
Oh yeah.
Made the strike. This is one thing that's interesting to me. I heard this on a newscast over the weekend on KFYO. Mm-hmm. There are six Time magazines, and five of the international versions of Time magazine, Putin is on the cover, and he's supposedly the guy that they're touting as being the leader of the world.
Sure. Yeah, he stepped in. He's a huge opportunist. He plays the game very well. I mean, you have a KGB colonel, you know? He spent his whole life playing games and these Machiavellian little plots. He can run circles around our guys, unfortunately. You know, he's a third-rate power with nuclear weapons, but he's maximizing his hand even though he's holding a pair of tens. You know, we have the royal flush and we never know how to play it. It's really very unfortunate. And then the other thing that the story from Syria this past week is the fighting in that small village that between the Islamic group and the Free Syrian Army. And you know, the Islamists killed a number of the Free Syrian Army troops. If we had only helped the Free Syrian Army when this thing started, there would not be those groups there now. You know, Syria has become such a messy chessboard. Even the players don't know anymore what pieces they're playing.
Wow.
That's very, very disturbing. As far as moving forward and regaining any sort of power or perception of being a world power, are we really misperceived or are we really sidelined? Are we benched?
No, we are the preeminent world power. It's our ships that protect all the sea lanes. Everybody knows that. The Chinese oil going through the Middle East waters is being protected by the U.S. Navy. Everyone knows that. It's just that we are misplaying our hand. We're clumsy at diplomacy, and we are very, very clumsy at world strategy. And when we have a president who dithers and changes his mind every other day, we just cannot project the power that we actually possess. You know, I mean, our defense budget is bigger than the next 40 nations combined.
Mm-hmm. We're cutting it down.
We're cutting it down, but it's still going to be the best. It is huge. I mean, the Chinese have an aircraft carrier. We have 100 years of experience with aircraft carriers. Mm-hmm. And they're still training on theirs.
Did you say they have a aircraft
carrier? Yes, a aircraft carrier.
Okay, wow. One, singular. Yeah. All right, this posturing kind of opens up the opportunities for everybody to make a move.
Yep.
The country of Iran is no exception here. Now, just how are they moving in and taking their step?
Well, Iran has historically had this goal of controlling the territory all the way from Afghanistan all the way to the Mediterranean. And Iran is one of those handful of countries that will always be a country. You know, Iran has always been there, whether it was Persia. People say the Roman Empire was destroyed by the barbarians. It wasn't. It bled itself in wars with Iran over centuries and centuries. Iran and the United States have long-term interests. Our current problems, I think, are a short-term duration, and our long-term interests lie with being friendly with Iran. Iran just has to change from their crazy ways, and this new president, I think, offers some opportunities. Rouhani, we'll see what direction it goes in.
That's kind of an interesting focus. I know that Iran is working on their nuclear program.
Absolutely.
And they were supposed to have dialed that back. Mm-hmm. And to my knowledge, it's my understanding they really haven't dialed it back. It's just not being publicized.
That's true. I believe that anyone these days who wants a nuclear weapon can get one. You know, it's a technology that's, 65 years old? And Iran certainly has the means, but it may be in their geopolitical interest to negotiate it away. You know, that for them, Israel's weapons are not an existential threat, as an Iranian weapon would be for Israel. I don't know of anybody who's really uncomfortable in the Middle East with Israel having weapons, no matter what they say. Because at the end of the day, Israel is a stabilizing force there. And Iran could be too. You remember under the Shah, Iran and Persia at the time were best of friends.
Hmm. Wow. It's funny how things change. Not funny, it's just...
for the short term.
Right. What do you see evolving there, and what do you think is going to come out of this session of the United Nations? I mean, if you had to make the call, what are you thinking?
I think there'll be a lot of speeches. At the end of the day, I suspect that there will be a Syria resolution. And at this stage, it's no longer in the interest of the Assad government to have chemical weapons. You know, the Russians are supplying them with all the weapons they need to keep afloat, not necessarily to defeat the rebel forces. And it's become a ethnic warfare, in effect. But we'll get a resolution, and there may be some actually progress made towards destroying the chemical weapons. Probably not all of them, but a good amount. I mean, the Russians are going to come out as looking like the good guys. Again, our clumsy diplomacy.
Hey, if you'd like to make a question or comment, 770-5790, let's go to the phones. HR, you're on with Ambassador Naj.
Hey, good morning. How y'all doing this morning?
Good. Great.
Thanks for taking my call. I got a quick question. This morning I woke up to a terrorist attack going on in Kenya. As a minister, one of the things that I'm talking about to people is that the Muslims are trying to convert the entire world into Sharia law. Do you think this is what's going on, and every group is tied to the Sharia law thing that's going on, that's going nationally, not nationally but worldwide? And I'll hang up and listen to your response.
All right, thank you.
No, I don't think so. As with most religions, there is a branch of Islam that is extremely radical, and they would want to convert the whole world, either convert or, you know, literally convert or die. But as such a minuscule amount of the population, unfortunately, those are the guys that tend to go out and do crazy things, like this group in Nairobi.
Yeah, I think the small percentage you're talking about on one end, you got the Quaker Oats guy.
Yeah.
On the other end, you got the people that are completely out of whack.
Absolutely.
Completely and totally.
Absolutely.
Hey, I'll tell you what, we may check back with you a little bit later on in the week, see what happens tomorrow, because tomorrow promises to be probably the day there may be fireworks.
We'll see the speech.
Yeah. All right, Ambassador Tibor Pinaj Jr., thanks for being with us this morning. Collins and Mack, good morning. It's 7:29.
Thanks a lot, guys, and feel good.